This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Tass.
Thank you, Macca. We are now going to change subject again. We're going to have a conversation with the director of GLHV from La Trobe University.
What's GLHV?
It's actually just GLHV now, Macca.
Oh.
It used to be Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria, but now it's just GLHV. And there's a reason for that, because we actually want to focus on an inclusive set of language. So GLHV is just a sort of an acronym, really. Anyway,
thank you.
Here to talk with us about some really interesting research that's established that a number of LGBTI young people actually are afraid to report crimes to Victoria Police. So to talk with us about this research this morning, we have the director of GLHV, Liam Leonard. Good morning, Liam.
Good morning, Tass.
Director of GLHV.
Is that right? It's GLHV, isn't it?
It is. We now say we're promoting the health and wellbeing of LGBTI Victorians.
Gorgeous.
All right. So you're not going to change your name?
Well, we have in a way. It's a little bit like the Gender and Sexuality Commissioner going from Rowena to Row. It just takes time for people to catch on.
Yeah.
Right. Or an artist once called Prince, for that matter.
Right. So you are the... Well, what's the name of the centre then?
We call ourselves GLHV,
right.
And our tagline is promoting LGBTI Victorians' health and wellbeing.
Got it. Anyway, and more importantly, tell us about the research. What are the key findings?
We partnered with Victoria Police to look at the relationships between VicPol staff, that serving staff across Victoria, and I'll call them LGBTI young people. And we interviewed about 400, or we didn't interview, sorry, we did a survey with about 400 police, about 80 young people. And then we did on-site interviews in two regional locations in Victoria with police and with young people. So it's a mix of sort of qualitative and quantitative research. And the term afraid came out of an interview I did with the ABC last week.
Afraid, I love that.
I don't think it's the right word. I have to be very careful here. What we found is that 42% of queer young kids, I'm going to abbreviate it even shorter, did actually trust police, and about 39% didn't. What was worrying is when we asked specific questions around prejudice-motivated crime or their identities, about 70% of those young people didn't feel that the police understood their identities and they wouldn't feel confident in reporting prejudice-motivated crime. So I think the word afraid is very loaded.
Yeah.
I think issues around trust are better. And, of course, that has to sit against data, which we didn't engage with, that just looks at young people's sense of trust with police more broadly, and that's young people irrespective of sexual orientation or gender identity. Identity. So levels of trust are low for young people anyway. So what was concerning for us was more when we asked questions specifically about prejudice-motivated crime and these young people's engagement with police and their perceptions of how they'd be treated, where these people were very, very wary.
Did you have a feeling, and Victoria Police talked about this during the week, you know, to their credit, they, you know, fronted up and said, hey, this is an issue and a concern we need to deal with. Was there... In amongst those 400 that did the survey, did you get a handle on geography? Was it, was there the option for people to say where they were from generally, or is it just it's not a geographic as such?
It was in the state survey. About, I think, 80% of police were metropolitan, about 20% were rural and regional.
And was there a difference in the outcomes?
We haven't crunched the data. I think there is, but I honestly I don't want to say. But what we did do is, because we did the two on-site interviews in two regional locations, which aren't named in the report, there were differences regionally. And what we trace that back to is there are different cultures within police stations in one part of another. Course. And secondly, what we discovered was there are huge regional variations in the profile and connection of LGBTI community groups in different parts of regional Victoria. So in one of the sites, there was a long history of LGBTI activism, of engaged police, not so much in the second site. And you do see differences there in people's knowledge, their awareness, particularly within police, of queer young people.
So where to from here? You've got the you've got the findings. There's some number, some more crunching to do. Where do you where to next? I mean, Victoria Police want to be part of this. They don't want Victorians, no matter who they are, to be afraid or reluctant or reticent to report crimes. Yeah. Where to?
Well, the first thing I need to say is VicPol commissioned this research and they released the report in full, and I've been dealing with a number of other agencies who I won't name at the moment where some of our reports have been heavily cut. So I do want to say I think that's
redacted.
I'm not commenting, but that's... So I just want to say in terms of this report, the fact that Victoria Police released it in its entirety, I think we're very forthcoming in addressing some quite specific recommendations. The other thing that I need to say before I answer that directly is there was lots of really good feedback on the GLOWs from both within police and from young people. And I think that's, that's a positive. The GLOWs are growing in Victoria. One of the key issues was training.
The GLOWs, just to remind our listeners who the GLOWs are.
Well, the GLOWs are LGBTI liaison officers, a bit like GLHE. They no longer go under the name Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers. So GLOWs is just the acronym. Yeah. So we have a lot in common. So one of the first things we recommended was more training. A lot of queer young kids said that when they met individual police, particularly ones who had an understanding of their queer identities, it really increased their trust radically. So we argued that there's a lot to be done within Victoria Police to get police aware of some of the resistances that queer young kids have to them, greater understanding of the history of LGBTI people, queer young people still face that, and some of the specific issues that these young people experience. And when that happens, the interactions improve dramatically. The second thing we suggested is that a lot of the informal events where police and young people meet at queer events, at schools, outside of criminal reporting and official police duties, it just works a treat. It's community policing at its best. The third recommendation we made was to profile the GLOWs both within Victoria Police more. We found that some police knew about the GLOWs, went to them. I mean, these are mainstream police. Some didn't. We found a similar thing among young people. Some young people were aware, some weren't. We said there's a real opportunity now to grow the GLOWs, to raise their profile within police as some sort of internal intelligence, and to raise their profile as the interface between VicPol and particularly for young people, queer young people.
It's interesting you say that, because I went to my local police station just the other night, and I was there to have something witnessed, actually, so it's really boring and they hate doing that sort of thing. But the reason I say that is because as I entered the police station, there was a rainbow flag on the wall, and there was a sign that said there is a LGBTI liaison officer, they call them, police liaison officer, and a Jewish liaison officer. Yeah. Now, how extraordinary is that? And all of a sudden, I felt welcomed.
Yes, and we're saying that those things don't take an awful lot to do, but you do want to know sitting behind that, when you see that flag in, the entrance to the police station, you want to know that everybody in that police station has been trained. Because if you see the flag, but they haven't, you will actually put yourself more at risk.
That's
so
right.
that's the standard line we
run.
Exactly. And
right.
That's the fourth part of what we recommended is clearly for underreporting, for underengagement, for lack of trust for any minority population, you need these initiatives to be supported at a very senior level within the force. And our sense in this report is they actually are.
So that was going to be my question, actually.
That it is supported, sorry, Tass, it is supported at the high level. We've had, a number of assistant commissioners and other ranks in that have talked about this.
And former police commissioners,
from diverse as, Doug Fryer in road policing to... his name escapes me.
Ken Lay.
Yes.
The issue seems to be, the challenge, Liam, is it needs to
infiltrate.
Absolutely infiltrate and filter right down to each individual officer.
Yes.
In each station, in each region, because, if the survey's saying this, and I think afraid, you know, probably isn't the right, reluctance or reticence.
Yes. Yeah.
That, you know, there's a concern that those officers are unaware of some of these issues and unaware of what they can access.
One of the interesting findings that we didn't report is that there are some age differences, or not age, that's actually wrong. There are differences between people who have joined the police in the last 10 years, some of whom are in their 30s and 40s, and people who've been serving for much longer. We found that the people who joined in the last 10 years all talked about diversity training. They talked about, I don't know if you know, Tass, but the cafe, when they first come in for training, where they're introduced a little bit light-speed dating to a whole range of people. A lot of them talked about talking to trans and gender diverse people for just 3 or 4 minutes.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, it stayed.
It makes the world of difference.
It has stayed with these people. So a lot of that, again, I don't say younger cohort, but more recent recruits, talk about this in a very different way to some of the older recruits. Now, I also have to make one qualification there. We had one or two older recruits who'd had an epiphany. You know, things like Tasty, things like looking back at their own histories, they were quite shocked and they'd become really effective champions. But nonetheless, I'd say it's the newer recruits, the people who've gone through some of the changes in training. And yet it raises your issue. If that's really effective, then we were arguing that some of this LGBTI, some broader diversity should be mandated, not just for recruits, but for people who have as ongoing PD, people moving into more senior positions, their ways of embedding it further and further down the chain. But it really was terrific to listen to some of these people remembering things like that from 4, 5, 6 years ago, saying, "This, I'd never met someone, the 3 minutes it made it human, I'd thought about it since." It was a really interesting moment.
I think that's a recurring sort of story that I hear from lots of, you know, service providers across a range of, you know, human health or justice services, who that little bit of exposure makes such a massive difference. So where to next? That's sort of where I'm interested.
And
in
I mean, who at Victoria Police, is there someone who I don't want to use the word accountable, but who's going to lead this? To try and implement the recommendations or the suggestions, you know, that you guys are going to come back with as well?
We submitted the report to part of the community policing. That's not actually the right term. I'm going to get the part of police wrong. But it's where there's the LGBTI portfolio reference group.
Okay.
And my understanding is that that's one of the places it's going to go. And I presume it'll go through all the labyrinthine systems of any organisation. But that's you might want to get someone on from VicPol
to
very talk about how that will. But that group will be looking at it, and it is, you know, the major reference group.
We'll get Neil, who joined us in the caravan at Pride.
Yeah, sure.
I can never remember his surname.
No, I can't remember his name.
we're pleading memory loss.
It's because we're old.
We're old. No, it's because our brains have been worked so hard over the years, Tass. look, thank you so much, Liam. Come back, you know, in a few months and tell us how this is progressing, how the changes, you know, that you're seeing, and perhaps we might double date you with Vic Police.
Right.
I think what I'd be particularly interested in seeing is whether this does get embedded into the culture of the police workforce and what outcomes we have.
Yeah, great. Right.
Good on you, Liam. Thank you very
much
for your time
this
morning.
Liam Leonard from GLHV.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.